I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good Saturday morning from the Kia Studios, nine floors up, Colony Square, lovely Midtown Atlanta. Sam Crenshaw with you from 6 until 8 a.m. talking sports with you, and I hope you're well wherever you are this morning, getting up before the sun comes up. Got some rain coming through the area. There's some moisture in some parts as you drive, so be careful if you're out and having to take the roadways. Of course, it's being Mother's Day weekend. Some may be having to travel, so please be careful if you do. So glad you're with us, and we got a number of things to talk about. It's a great weekend. Atlanta United is playing this weekend. We got NBA playoffs going on. Braves got a win. That is good. Falcons got the rookies up at the rookie mini camp this weekend. Day two of that coming up. And so the number of things to talk about as we go along on this Saturday. So glad you're with us. Got some special guests coming up as well. Later on this hour, Gabriel Stovall is going to join us. He keeps an eye on all things high school sports and more, but high school sports out in the eastern part of the metro Atlanta area. We'll talk about that. And then in the 7 o'clock hour, NASCAR didn't race on Mother's Day, but they do race on the Saturday night before Mother's Day. And they're in Kansas. Adam Alexander from FS1 will join us to talk about that coming up later on in this hour. Been an interesting week for me. Of course, I was here this time yesterday. I was here inside the Kia Studios with John Chuckery. Always interesting when you're in the studio with John Chuckery. Well, we had a great time yesterday. Had a great time. And he was doing something fun yesterday. He had his lavender shirt on, and he was having a photo shoot. We all got a chance to poke fun at him because he had a makeup artist come in to do makeup on him and everything for a photo shoot. He's doing something with Wellstar Health for one of their publications. And so we had a chance to see him get ready, get all gussied up and get all, you know, what we call it, the pancake batter, whatever they put on the they had a cake frosting, what I call it, the makeup on him. And it was great. It was great. We had some fun with him with that. But I enjoyed being in with him, you know, yesterday morning. So we had a lot of fun. But this morning, we got better news about our Braves. Yes, we do. They were winners last night. We knew they had to get a win at some point. It wasn't looking good for a while because this western part of the road trip has been difficult for the Braves. But they do get a win last night on the road against Arizona. 2-1 final score if you didn't stay up to keep up with it. And the Braves do get a win there. That was good. They got a strong start from Julio Teheran. They got RBI from Freddie Freeman. They got a home run from Ronald Acuna and the bullpen hail. And scoreless work from the bullpen. And the Braves get the win. So that's good. We'll dive into that a little bit more coming up in our next segment. We'll talk more about the Braves and what they're doing. NBA playoffs, and the drama continues. Houston at home with no Kevin Durant, and they still don't get the job done. Warriors get the win, 118-113. Houston is done. Warriors are now on to the Western Final, and they wait what's happening on Sunday. A lot of NBA fans were really hoping. They were really hoping. I don't know if they're hoping, but a lot of people were hoping who enjoy basketball and playoff basketball, hoping that Houston would get a win to force a game seven, and they could be three game sevens Sunday afternoon. That won't happen. Now, we're going to have two game sevens as Golden State was a winner in that game. No Kevin Durant, no problem last night for the Warriors. Steph Curry comes up and gets 33 points in the game. Klay Thompson with 27 points in the win, and they are on to the next round. They're still looking like that team, even without Kevin Durant. The question is, when will Durant be available? We knew that he wouldn't be available even if they went to a game seven, that he wasn't going to be back for this series. The question is, what will his status be for the next series? It's supposed to be a calf injury. That's what it's supposed to be, calf strain. That's what it's being labeled as. But everyone I talk to and who has experienced it and seen it in person says just the way he reacted looked more like it was an Achilles. That was an Achilles. Now, he's done for the season. He ain't coming back. But, you know, this is what the team is saying that it is. We'll see. But he wasn't available last night, was not needed last night, and Golden State does get the win. And you wonder, if that is the case, if Kevin Durant can't return for Golden State, are they still the team that will be the favorite to win it all? You know, regardless of who they face, be it Portland or Denver, do they have the firepower to make it past those teams? And then if they do, what about the representative from the East? Well, right now, looks like it's going to be Milwaukee. I mean, still they got to play the winner of the Game 7 of the other Eastern semifinal coming up tomorrow. And, of course, that's Toronto and Philadelphia. A lot riding in that game. You know what Kawhi Leonard has brought every time that team has played. He's back to it last game. And you also wonder also with Philadelphia, Joel Embiid, you know what he can do if he's healthy and if he shows up and plays the minutes the way he should play. Should be an interesting Game 7. Both Game 7s should be interesting. A pair of very entertaining and interesting series there in the NBA playoffs to decide who gets to go and play in the finals. So that is coming up. Coming up tomorrow in those two games. Also, Atlanta United goes back to work tomorrow. And maybe it's good they have these short turnarounds now. We're not waiting an entire week in between games, and they're back tomorrow. Mother's Day at the Benz. You can get tickets. Why not take Mom to Atlanta United, especially if she hadn't been before? That might be cool to do. Of course, we're going to be out there. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game will be in the Gulch. Broadcasting live, I believe John Chuckery and Randy McMichael will be out there kind of getting you set for things. And pregame, I think, is at 2 and kickoff at 2:30, I believe, tomorrow. People were saying that was saying different times, different places. The time I'm saying is 2:30 for the matchup tomorrow against a team that's supposed to be our rival. They're our rivals. They never beat us. But, I mean, they're our rivals. That's who they say they are. Okay. Orlando City, and usually their crowd comes up and they try to make a little noise, and we'll save them a few seats over in the corner. You know, you guys sit over here and speak when you're spoken to. We'll look to see if Atlanta United can continue to roll. I like the way our team is playing right now a whole lot better. This looks like the real Atlanta United. Not sure who those guys were we saw the last month. But the team that has shown up for the last three matches, and it has been coming on. If you listen to what people tell you, and Doug Robertson, who joins us, you know, every weekend before match to preview things, and Mike Conti and Jason Longshore, the opportunities were there going back a few weeks. And those were starting to come. They just weren't finding the back of the net. Now they're finding the goal, and we're scoring. And that's the thing that you want to see. That's the thing that reminds us of what made this team so much fun and exciting to begin with. Just their style of play and the fact that, you know, they go out and just can get that early goal, put the opponent on their heels, and then just roll from there. And that's what this team has done so often. And right now, that's the way they're playing. And winning the last two matches against two really good and competitive squads in MLS. So it's great to see them do that. Orlando City is coming up next. And like you said, we can hear it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com if you don't go down to see them actually play. Last week we were here and we were getting set for one of those big American classic sporting events, the Kentucky Derby. And, you know, those of you, some follow horse racing, some don't. But a lot of people who don't follow for this particular day because you make such a big deal about it. You know, it's the one horse race that people will watch. People will have derby parties. People even, you don't have to go to Kentucky to find groups of people who dress up with the hats and the finery, the mint juleps, and even a little wagering there. Put a little money down on it. You can do that anywhere. So I'm sure some of you listening may have gone to some derby-related events last week and watched in amazement how this horse race in the mud got even muddier when it was over. And so the first time in 145 years, the fastest horse and the horse that actually made it to the finish line first was disqualified Maximum Security won, but it was later ruled that Country House was the winner. And it just got muddier during the week when Maximum Security said, well, that we're not coming to the Preakness. And now, as it turns out, Country House is not going to the Preakness. And, you know, and I could have told you Country House wasn't going to no Preakness. I could have told you that. I mean, if you're 65-1 odds and some kind of way you stumble into winning the Kentucky Derby, and now you're worth all this kind of cash and all of the, you know, reproduction fees, stud fees, whatever you want to call it. You know, are you going to go up to the Preakness and have a chance of being exposed? And now some of that money gets off the table? Why would you do that? You know, I went back and forth with some of my colleagues out here in the bullpen. This horse, you know, you're retiring this guy. Oh, no, he has to go for the triple crown. No, he doesn't. Does not. So Country House is not going for the triple crown. The trainer says he's decided to scratch Country House from the triple crown bid amid concerns that he's falling ill. So if the horse is falling ill, and we're going to let him go on out and, line him up and head him out to pasture. Hello, ladies. That's what I think happens with Country House. You could go to Triple Crown. Ain't going Triple Crown. That leaves things kind of wide open for the Preakness next week in Baltimore. Those folks have to be a little upset in Baltimore. I mean, still they're going to have the event, and they're going to get together at Pimlico Track, and they're going to sing Maryland, My Maryland, and they're going to open the gate, and some horses are going to run. But, you know, it won't be, you know, Omaha Beach, which was really the horse that was the pre-Derby favorite that was scratched last week with a breathing issue. It won't be the horse that finished first, Maximum Security. It won't be the horse that was declared the winner, you know, Country House. You know what? I think you and I could probably get a horse and go up there and do well. I mean, Greg on the other side of the glass, he's on the other side. Greg is here this morning. He's on the other side of the glass. I think Greg and I could get one of them Clydesdales, one of them Budweiser, and we could take him up there to Preakness and maybe run that thing. And that's just me, you know, and be just as competitive, probably. So is any of the horses that are going to be left up there? That's coming up next week. And I know what you're saying, all because of instant replay. They hadn't gone through that replay and visited. You don't get me started with that again, because that's what you want. You want perfection from imperfect people, imperfect horses. You want that. That's what you get. You know, the Triple Crown is all done, but you can look at it again because it's all on replay. We're just getting started on this Saturday. We'll come back. We're going to dive back into what's happened to our Braves team on this road trip. It has started good, and it's gotten bad, and it got a little better last night. We'll talk about that more as we continue. On this game day, Saturday morning, Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you on this Mother's Day weekend. An early happy Mother's Day to all moms. We'll get into that more, obviously, tomorrow. Talk about sports moms and the roles that moms play in sports. A lot of people can talk about that and know what that means. So we get into that some tomorrow. And I hope you guys are, you know, whoever you are, mom or grandmom, you guys are planning to do something real cool this weekend. You know, you may want to go and do the dinner today so you don't have to wait in that long line tomorrow. You know, lines out the door. You go somewhere to eat with mom on Mother's Day. You know, but if that's the day she wants to go, then tomorrow, that's the day that you have to go. There you go. Don't forget, this is the place where you can watch, where you can hear Atlanta United. Yes, Atlanta United taking on Orlando tomorrow, pregame 1:30. We have pregame set here, 1:30 kickoff at 2 from lovely Mercedes-Benz Stadium against Orlando FC, our rival, at least that's who they say they are. That's coming up tomorrow. You can hear it here, obviously, with Jason Longshore, Mike Conte. Conte, they get you all set and get you everything you need to hear for our team as they go for another win. It's exciting. They got things rolling. They're back. And they're playing like Atlanta United. That's fantastic. Also playing better last night were our Braves. And that is good news as well, because this West Coast section segment of the road trip has not been kind to our squad. You know, last weekend, once we got past this of the hit batsman and, you know, Kevin Gausman with the quick ejection down in Miami, they went on to sweep the Marlins, as they should, bottom feeders that they are. That was good. That was good. But then we go out to the West Coast, and you knew the competition was going to get tougher. You knew what this team was going up against. You know what happened the last time the Braves saw the Dodgers. You knew what happened the last time they saw the Diamondbacks just a few weeks ago, and they got swept here at home. And the bullpen was not great. The pitchers just couldn't find the plate. Oh, it was just a disaster. And sure enough, they go out and play the Dodgers in those three games. They fall behind early. You know, even have an injury to Max Fried there. He gets hit on the hand, you know, by a line drive. By the way, his status is he is expected to start tomorrow right now. He did a little throwing Thursday, no discomfort. So look to see him back on the mound in Arizona for the final game of this weekend series. But, you know, the Dodgers, tough three games. Then they dropped the first game. It's the bullpen couldn't hold. A.J. Minter gets away, and they fall to the Diamondbacks in the first game of this series Thursday night. Last night, we had Julio Teheran. And as always with Julio Teheran, that's that bumpy inning. You always know there's going to be a bumpy inning, so it could be the first, it could be the fifth. You don't know what happened. And last night, Julio Teheran started the game, went six innings, scattered three hits, struck out four, surrendered one run. That's a great outing for him. Now what happens when you go to the bullpen? When the door opens, the gate opens from the bullpen, it's been one of those things this season where you're never quite sure what's going to come out. You know what you hope will come out, but you're never quite sure. So Dan Winkler comes out, pitches the seventh, scoreless seventh. Sean Newcomb comes on in the eighth, pitches a scoreless eighth inning. And Luke Jackson, he gets the ninth inning assignment. He goes in, strikes out two in the ninth, and gets his third save, coming right back after blowing one on Thursday night. So those are all good things to see from the bullpen, a good, solid effort. It was what this team needed badly, to get a good start and solid bullpen work. On the offensive end, only took two runs. When those things happen, you don't have to score a lot. Freddie Freeman drove home a run, and, you know, Dansby Swanson had three hits in the game, and Ronald Acuna with a long home run in the eighth inning, his eighth home run of the season, and that's how it ended. So, I mean, it's great news. You know, that's great to see him do that 466-foot home run. I think that's the longest of his career. That's big shot for him. And so the Braves get a win, a much needed win on this road trip. The thing of it now, does that kind of right the ship as they get set to ready to turn for home? They got a game tonight. Kevin Gausman is expected to start. I know he's making his appeal right now from the suspension he's supposed to face, you know, for throwing at the pitcher from the Miami Marlins. But he is due to start, and he needs to go out and have a solid start. He's had his woes of late, giving up 14 earned runs in the last 16 in the third inning. Wow. He's 1-3, and this is his second start under the appeal. So we see what happens with that. 8-10 start tonight. Merrill Kelly is the starter for the Diamondbacks. For them, his record is at 3-3. You know, this is a kind of a pivotal time in the schedule for this Braves team. And, you know, we talked about, you know, what's happened so far with them. The fact that, you know, they're trying to keep pace with Philly, and, you know, nobody had really separated themselves in that division. Philly's got a little bit of movement this week because the Braves, you know, dropped four in a row. And so when that happens, you know, Philly, even though they're not playing the greatest baseball, they're going to get a little distance between themselves and the Braves and the Mets. You don't want those guys to get out too far away from you. And your schedule, like we said, is in a very challenging segment of the Braves' schedule. When you think about who they're facing playing the Dodgers and then playing the Diamondbacks out west. And then what happens next? They come home to face the Cardinals and the Brewers. And those are two very difficult opponents, two very difficult, very challenging opponents that the Braves have when they come back home. So they're the very challenging part of the schedule. They come home for three, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday against the Cardinals. Next weekend, the Brewers are in town. The Braves had a woeful time with the Brewers last year. Then they're back on the road again. They go back out west, four in San Francisco, and back to St. Louis for three before we get back into a division opponent later on this month. They get to play the Washington Nationals, but, you know, that's down the road. You got to get something done with what you're facing that's immediately in front of you. And what the Braves have right now, two more games in Arizona. Tough games always with St. Louis. And then a Milwaukee team that's going to put us to the test. You know, really being tested. And the thing that's being tested is the Brave pitching and the bullpen. And you wonder now, do you need the starter? I know early in the season we see, do the Braves need the starter? Or should they go for the closer? We felt like this week maybe they needed some help in the closing area. What happens with A.J. Minter going forward? And he's a guy that you've been given the ball and given the opportunity to. Luke Jackson, you gave him the ball in the ninth inning last night, and he got things done. You're just trying to see who's going to really reach out and take hold of certain roles and make it be their role for the season and solidify themselves in the role. We feel like the starters have done that. You've got the rotation. We got Gosman. We got Freed. He's healthy to come back. Fulton Everidge, we want to see a good start from him too, because we know what he means for this team. As the team brought him back a little soon from his injury, I didn't say rush him back. You could have let him stay and get 100 closer to 100% if that's the case, if that's what's affecting his productivity right now. So we need to see a strong start for him. He gets the first game against St. Louis coming up Tuesday night. Soroka's been fantastic. He and Freed have been fantastic. And Tehran, we just need more starts like last night for Julio Tehran. That's what we need, obviously from him. Sean Newcomb comes out of the bullpen. Is that the role that he plays for now? You know, remember we got Tuki Toussaint, and last time he was called out of the bullpen, he did a great job. He's back at Gwinnett for a time. When the team comes home, do you bring him back over to the big league club? Just some things to think about of some players who played well, you know, in certain roles. And I was talking yesterday, and John Chuckery and I were talking about it. He said, why not try, you know, maybe Toussaint in a closing role? And I don't know if you want to put him in that closing role. I mean, right now you've had him spot starting and you know, really put him to a test fresh after being called up, threw him into the fire after Gosman gets ejected last week, and he performed quite well for you. And so you want to see what you have, what kind of situation that you're comfortable with him in, that he can come in and really develop and, like you said, nail down and solidify what his role is going to be with this pitching staff when he's up with the big league club. That's what we're looking for. We feel like we got a lineup that can match up with anybody. I don't think we need to, you know, go anything. We're getting good productivity. We're getting good hitting, you know, getting timely hitting. We have guys that can do things, and we got power. We got some speed on the base paths. We have all those things working from top to bottom, you know, in our batting lineup. And then, of course, you can go to the bench, and you have some guys that can come in and do some great things for you as well. And versatility. I'm great with all that. But we need to shore up some things pitching-wise, especially after we get through this month of the schedule and we start hitting the mid-season and the long part of the summer gets here. You want to have those roles solidified. You want to have those people in place and know what to expect. So, you know, Brian Snitker, you know, is doing, to me, a good job in giving people a chance to learn. You don't want too many of these games to get away because they start accumulating. And you say, well, that's another one that we could have won that got away. Well, here's another one that got away. And we've had a number of those already this year. You know, there'll be enough games where the other team will come out and just jump on your pitcher and take you out of the game early. But the games that are close and you have a chance and you have a lead in the late innings, those are the games you really want to have someone to help nail it down in the back end of that bullpen. The Dodgers are good. You know, the Braves are good. We got a great team. The Dodgers expose the fact that, you know, you're good, but you're not here yet. Those guys are the best in the National League right now, and you know they got a whipping for everybody. Your bus rolls up at Chavez Ravine. You walk through the gate. You go in your clubhouse. You suit up and you come out on the field. Assume the position. They got one whipping, and it's for everybody right now. Dodgers are just that team in the National League. We'll see them later on. You know they'll be here. I think in August we'll get to see the Dodgers come to town, and hopefully by that time some roles will solidify with the Braves, and that series will go differently. That would be a yard. There'll be a yardstick series for this Atlanta Braves team. But we've got a lot of baseball to be played between now and then, though. All right, they're playing tonight against the D-backs. Let's see if they can make it back-to-back wins. Coming up next, Gabriel Stovall, Covington News, always keeping an eye on things, and a rather heartfelt story that he wrote this week. That and more coming up next. You stay with us on this game day Saturday morning, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw on a Saturday morning. 9 floors up in the Kia Studios. Little clouds passing through, but don't worry. It's Mother's Day weekend. We're going to celebrate Mom as we hear a mom in the background. Joining us now on the waitfor.com hotline. Guy covers high school sports and a whole lot more in the East Metro area. Gabriel Stovall from Covington News Sports. Good morning, Gabriel.
Good morning, Sam. What's going on with you, my friend?
Hey, so much. I know we just played something there with Natalie Cole. She was a mom. And I know, right. You know, we're going to ask people when they talk to us this weekend to reflect on this Mother's Day. Is there a certain mom or grandmom or someone that comes to mind for you?
Man, listen, I talk about mothers all day. You know, my mother just last week was in town from Omaha, Nebraska. She's dealing with being a caretaker for my father for the Alzheimer's, and she was here to witness as I baptized my son last week, so that was pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
So definitely shout her out, but I would be remiss if I did not shout out my wife, Courtney Stovall, head softball coach at Forest Park High School and also a tremendous mother. We celebrate our son's birthday today, so happy Mother's Day to my wife, Courtney. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there today.
You sound like a man who's done that before. Well done.
Well, you know, man, I gotta know where I lay my head at night, man. You know, so that's kind of how that works.
I know what you mean, brother. You got to
do that.
You got to do that. Look, we saw the story yesterday that broke from out in that area, Eastside High School, and the passing of Brent Wren, the basketball coach there. You wrote a very heartfelt story about him. Thoughts about Coach Wren. It seems like impact a lot of people in that community, but people around the metro area are responding.
Well, man, listen, you know, the thing about when you're in a small, tight-knit community like Newton County, Covington area, you know, it doesn't take much when folks are really impactful, it doesn't take much to have their web of impact spread. And Coach Brent Wren was just that guy, man. And you know, head basketball coach, boys basketball coach at Eastside High School. But his impact was more than just the wins and losses and, you know, state tournaments and all that kind of stuff. The interesting thing about Coach Wren, man, when I first met him, even though he coached at Eastside, he also coached at the middle school, Liberty Middle School in Covington, and he probably impacted and touched pretty much every meaningful baller for all three of those local schools down there that came through, and he had an affinity for all of them, man. He didn't just want to see his guys at Eastside shine. He wanted to see everybody in Newton County shine, and so that in the classroom and on the court, man. So he had a double impact in Covington. And, man, sorry, really, really sorry to hear about the news and sad about it, but, man, he definitely left an indelible imprint on the lives of folks in Newton County, no doubt about it.
Spending time this morning on the waitfor.com hotline, Gabriel Stovall. You can follow him on Twitter at GabrielStovall1. You talk about basketball, and we think of another school out in that area that had a longtime coach, you know, step down and move on. What's happening out there? What can you tell us what's happening over at Newton with the Rams?
Absolutely. Coach Rick Rasmussen on his way to North Oconee. Talked with athletic director Vincent Byams a few weeks back after the story broke of Rasmussen leaving, and he was talking about how he kind of wanted to try to bring this thing to a close before the end of May. You know, obviously Newton is a very, very highly sought-after program, probably one of the premier jobs in the state that's open this year. So, honestly, I would not be surprised if we hear something about it in the next week or two, because the way things are going, summer ball and all that, they really want to get their guy in place get a splash hire that can take that program to even more loftier heights. So don't be surprised if you hear something about that in the next week or two from us.
All right, we'll watch for that. Spring football going on. Have you been out to see anybody? You know, you only get 10 days, and they're dodging rain showers on certain days. They're still trying to get those practices in.
I'm trying to tell you, man, you know, we were supposed to have a spring game in Salem yesterday, but because of the forecasted rain, we postponed it to Tuesday. But, man, listen, it's going to be an exciting time. Obviously, Eastside is coming off a historic season. They've got a quarterback in Noah Cook who's actually on his way to Elite 11 camp in Nashville next week, so they're going to have some guys coming back. This year is going to kind of be the year of the new coaches, man. Both Al Covey and Newton, both welcoming new coaches. Cam Grant at Newton, he's kind of been in the program. And very intriguing with Jason Dukes, who used to, some of the Atlanta, Georgia folks may remember him at Alpharetta. He tutored Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Joshua Dobbs up there. He's at Al Covey. So it's going to be really interesting, man. Both of their spring games are next week, so we're going to be looking forward to seeing what kind of products they're going to put out on the field in their first years at the helm of those programs.
You make me feel old when you mention Jason Dukes, because I go back a ways with him even before his Georgia Tech days. I go back to his Richmond Academy days in Augusta.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Didn't mean to age you today, man. But yeah.
But
yeah,
thanks a lot for that.
He does hail from that area, man. Sam, I didn't mean to do that. So you know I love you, bro. I wouldn't mean to put you out there like that. You're young at heart, man. You're young at heart, I promise.
I appreciate it. So the spring game at Salem has been reset for Tuesday?
It has been reset for Tuesday. I know the guys at Newton, they were kind of a little, you know, frustrated about that because, you know, the coaches, this is a big time for recruiters. Newton's got a couple of guys, man, Nyland Green and Robert, his last name escapes me, he's a wide receiver. Both of them have been getting some huge offers in the spring, and they were hoping to get those coaches out on Friday. That's when they like to come. But I think they're still going to get a good, a representation of some recruiters out there on Tuesday. They're going to play that game at Salem at 7 p.m. I think Al Covey's game is going to be Friday. Not sure of their opponent yet. But both of those are going to be some pretty cool opportunities to see what new coaches, new talent are going to be able to do, especially for Al Covey, man. They're going on, I think, 3 years without a region win, and this is going to be their last year in that region 3-6A as it's currently constructed. So like you said, Coach Dukes is from that area, so yeah. We'll see how he connects with them in this year.
Yep. And we'll see what Coach Laws is doing over there at Salem. He's gotten entrenched over there now, so we'll see what he does with that program.
One of my favorite guys, man. Coach Law is just a class act, so glad to see him make the things happen over at Salem.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. Gabriel, we appreciate you spending some time and reflecting there on Coach Wren, and also giving a shout out to the mom at your house. You know you got her.
Wise man, I'm trying to learn, man. I'm trying to get better as I get older.
Well, you're doing a great job. Thanks so much for spending some time, my friend, with us this morning. You have a wonderful weekend.
My pleasure, Sam. You as well, my friend. Take care.
All right. Now, that is Gabriel Stovall from Covington News Sports. You can follow him once again on Twitter at Gabriel Stovall 1, Gabriel Stovall number 1. And speaking of high school football and the spring practice, you know, Greg on the other side of the glass met me at practice this week. I've been around to a couple of practices. I stopped by Roswell one day and took a look at the Hornets and talked with Coach Kemper. And then I had to go by McEachern and look in on things over there, the spring, and Coach Franklin Stevens, and they got some things going a little different. It was hot over there, too. And who comes out but Greg comes out. Greg and I were over there, and because I'm in his neighborhood. Half the road's over there named Lost Mountain something. Lost Mountain Road or Lost Mountain Trail or Lost And so Greg came out, and we were, you know, at practice, said hello to some of the players, some of the coaches while we're out there. And since, that's his part of the world, I feel I would, stop by and he would come out and we'd get a chance to check out some spring football there at McEachern. They had it going, man. They had it going good. And just like Gabriel said, you know, he had the college coaches out there watching. And, they had not one but two drones flying over the field. I think I was told one is for the defense and one is for the offense. You know, these things take off and fly up there and they're just watching everything while practice goes on. Amazing what we need for high school football in Georgia these days. Fantastic. All right, we're going to the top of the hour. Next hour, we're going to go racing, talk with Adam Alexander from FS1, going to talk more about Atlanta United, going to talk about Falcons rookie mini camp and the NBA playoffs. That's all coming up next hour. But up next, a chance to get some cash in your pocket. It is the casting call on a Mother's Day weekend, Saturday morning, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. We welcome you back in to the second hour. Sam Crenshaw with you up until 8 o'clock, and Dan Kamal will come your way then with the Sports Insider on this Saturday morning. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Hope you are following us on our website, by the way, 92.9thegame.com. So much to see there, so much to read. If you missed any interviews, everything's there, including the casting call. Just heard the casting call. You can find all of the opportunities for extras work and so much more in the industry on that page. Also go there and find the latest from Falcons minicamp. Also things with Atlanta United. The podcasts are there. Episodes, parts of the of our programs. If you missed any of the weeks prior here, you know, weekend mornings, myself and with Greg, they're there. You can go back and you can listen to them and catch some of the interviews and some of the goings-ons that we have and some of the thoughts from us here as we work here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's all there for you. Also follow us at 92.9 The Game. That's because we are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can follow us there as well. As we mentioned last hour, the Braves got a win last night, a much-needed win. Because it's been a pretty bumpy road trip since leaving Florida. Florida was nice. We had a wonderful time. Sun, sand, and you sweep the Marlins. Then you go out west and you get a little dose of reality from a Dodgers team that is the best in the National League right now, and they're playing great baseball. And they have a lineup. Think about this lineup they have. They have this lineup that's minus Manny Machado, who was with them at the end of last season, who's now in San Diego. Yasiel Puig, who's now in Cincinnati, that's not part of this. And they're still pounding it. They're still just pounding, and they're getting fantastic pitching from top to bottom. And that's the thing that this Braves team looks at that and says, that's what you have to become if you want to get to the NLCS and play for the championship. That's what this Braves team has to become. And they were reminded of it again this week. We're good. We are a good team. We are a very good baseball team. We are. And you know, this year, everyone wants to see if last year was an accident or did they do that on purpose. You guys mean to win the division or did you do that by accident last year? Or is this going to be a fluke and going to be a sophomore slide or whatever you want to call it with this Braves team? So, I mean, you want to show that it was for real. And this team really is one of the better teams in Major League Baseball. I believe that. That the Braves are one of the better teams in Major League Baseball. I believe this team will win the division again. We're just seeing some things that could cause some problems if we don't get some solutions resolved, and that being in a bullpen and a relief pitching role. So we saw good pitching last night, first of all. The starters, I got no complaints with our starters. They go out and they give innings, and last night Julio Teheran had one of his better outings because he didn't have that inning that he usually has. You know, he went six innings, six full, scattered three hits, struck out four, and surrendered one run. That is a great outing by Julio Teheran. Now what happens after that? When the gates of the bullpen open, and we not too sure what's going to come out. Well, you know, first out was Dan Winkler, and he had a scoreless seventh inning. That was good news. Sean Newcomb, who was called up for this road trip to be a part of the bullpen, hasn't been a starter, but he has had some relief work, a scoreless eighth inning. That was good work from him. And then Luke Jackson, who just the night before had his string of scoreless innings disrupted and blew a save chance. Well, he comes in with a scoreless ninth inning and picks up the save. So that was certainly good news to see. Braves pitching worked the way that it did. And when the Braves pitching works that way, all you need is a couple of runs. And that was it. 2-1, the final score as the Braves get the win last night on the road. Kevin Gausman will get the start tonight. He is 1-3, and really, he is in need of a favorable outing. Don't know if we got a lingering after effect from, you know, being tossed from the game and but being appealing a suspension. Don't know if that's, you know, kind of distracting him at all. Hopefully tonight he goes out and puts it together and is able to give this team, you know, the solid 6 to 7 innings that he can provide and that we saw him provide, you know, when he joined the team last season. Merrill Kelly is going to get the start for the D-backs. His record now at 3-3 on the year. So we see what happens going forward. The Braves can get another win tonight. NBA playoffs. No game tonight because you got two game sevens tomorrow. But what a game last night as Golden State wins 118-113 over Houston and ends that Western semifinal series, one game shy of a seventh and deciding game that I think a lot of people were kind of hoping to see. And feeling that Houston could have gotten the win. They were playing at home last night. No Kevin Durant for Golden State. You say, okay, well, this is their chance. Sure, you know, Houston's going to go out and they're going to win this thing because a lot of people are wondering how this Golden State is going to be, you know, should Durant not be able to play or be played, be sparingly going forward after this series. You're wondering right now, do they still have the foul power? Well, you remember, this team had the firepower before Durant showed up. And so those guys just kick back into what they know how to do. And Steph Curry had 33 points for you. Klay Thompson, you know, had 27 points. Andre Iguodala, we kind of forget about Iggy. He had 17 points in the game. And just like that, they're able to go on and get the win. That's the thing about this team. They're so deep with their talent. And they're so flexible in their alignment. You know, how are you going to line up and just cause matchup issues for whatever opponent there may be? That's one of the things that makes Golden State so difficult is the matchup problems they provide for whoever their opposition is. So now they get to sit and wait and watch tomorrow as the two games take place. We got two games that we thought we were going to have three game sevens. Didn't happen. 3:30 tomorrow, Portland and Denver will play game seven of their Western Conference semifinal. That has been a very entertaining, very competitive series. Great basketball games between those two teams. Emerging talents in the league. Guys that people may not have been real familiar with or hadn't seen a lot of. This series has been great for that. And that's the one thing I have enjoyed about these playoffs for the NBA this time is getting a chance to get some new players and get them in the spotlight. Man, Giannis Antetokounmpo with Milwaukee, he has grabbed this spotlight in a big way. No LeBron, good for him. He's saying, you know what, I'll grab this spotlight and people will know who I am and submit my, you know, now he's got to get to the finals and play in the finals for the first time and see what happens. Of course, to get there, he'll have to get through the winner of the other Eastern semifinal coming up tomorrow. This game will start at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening, Philadelphia against Toronto. And one of the players you're watching there is Joel Embiid, and you wonder which one is going to get off the bus tomorrow. Which Joel Embiid are we going to see? You know, the one that can go out and be just this dominant player because there are few, if any, other players in the league who can do the things that he can do at his size. If he's on, Philadelphia's got that chance to pull through. But if not, Kawhi Leonard and Toronto will win at home in Toronto. It'll be Toronto against Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference Final. Interesting to see because these games, to me, have been one way or the other. They haven't been real, you know, they haven't been real close or competitive at all. It's just been, you know, either one or the other as far as that series goes. So you're curious to see how that turns out and how it goes. But that's what's happening with NBA postseason. Been some great games, been some entertaining games, and we look to see what happens going forward. Now, there's certain teams that are missing, that are not there, and, you know, one of the teams, of course, is Los Angeles. They're still making news because we're wondering who is going to end up with that coaching job. I mean, there's a lot that's happening, and people are wondering who it's going to be. I think we have Frank Vogel possibly being a person they may talk to. Things didn't go that way. We thought we were going to see Ty Lue. It looked like it's not going to be him. And so we just wonder what's going to happen. Meanwhile, outside of Staples Center yesterday, there was a protest. They're taking it to the streets out in L.A. They had about 30 people, I think, came out there and then stomped around. And they're led by a college student from in Arizona who's from Los Angeles who just said he's sick and tired of Lakers front office fumbling the ball, basically. He said, you know what, let's get out in front of this building and protest the front office. And so that's as bad as things have gotten in Los Angeles, as bad as things that they are, they're out there walking around and got protest signs and saying, hey, front office, get it together. How bad can it be? Not just if fans show up to a game and boo, but to come out and stomp and protest outside your arena. It has gotten bad. It has gotten bad for the Lakers. Not a lot of confidence in them. Even the mayor of the city of Los Angeles, Mayor Eric Garcetti, this was interviewed by TMZ, and he called the city a Clippers town. When your mayor says that the Clippers run the town, that's kind of severe. Greg, they could get tax dollars for them too. You're right. They do. But just the idea, you know, people feel like you know, Lakers are the thing, and Lakers are this brand that we're used to seeing out front and being, and not just among the premier NBA teams, but of professional sports franchises in this country. They are revered as that. Being the one that sets the bar and sets the trend for other teams to follow. What's the solution? And this week I haven't heard possibilities of trading LeBron. Are you serious? It is just going sideways out there. So we wonder what happened. And, you know, while the playoffs are going on and not in the playoffs, they're still in the news. Not in the best light. But somehow I just get the feeling the best part is going to happen once the finals are over. The finals are going to – it could be great basketball, but just the things of what's going to transpire and who's going to end up where. And you know what? The season started out this way. The NBA season has been such a soap opera. I mean, from the start of the year, and it looks like I said, the play on the court – is one thing, but the play and some things that seem to be ridiculous that are taking place off the court are just as newsworthy. And for people who follow those type things, it seems like it's all primed to really kick into another gear once all the basketball stops. Starting obviously with the lottery and the draft and who gets drafted where and then what free agents end up where. You think Kyrie Irving's going to be back in Boston? I don't. I mean, it's just the whole movement is going to be fascinating to watch. It really is, you know. But we still got more basketball to watch on the court that's coming up. Okay, up next, no NASCAR driving on Mother's Day. But they are driving tonight in Kansas. Adam Alexander, FS1, will join us with the preview coming up next on this game day Saturday and race day Saturday. Sports Radio 929 The Game at 929TheGame.com. Sports Radio 929 The Game at 929TheGame.com. 9 floors up in the Kia Studios into our second hour. And in the background, you hear someone, that's a mom as well. Aretha Franklin, sing on Mother's Day weekend. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Hope it's a good weekend for you wherever you may be and wherever you are. If you're traveling this way, please do safely. Some people are making that road trip today. Some may wait until tomorrow to go and visit mom and spend time with her. You know those things you like to do, like to take mom out to get something to eat or certain things you want to spend time with her. You know, this that weekend, make everybody go out and do it. You all do stuff, good stuff for mom anyway, anytime. But this is the weekend that we do. So we say happy Mother's Day to all moms. If you're traveling to visit, if mom is traveling to go and visit children or grandchildren, you know, guys, have a great time lined up for mom. You know, sure, a good time. You know. And next week, she can go back in the kitchen and cook. But this weekend, you do something great and something cool for her. That'll be fantastic to see. And obviously, it would be a good time. We're looking forward to hearing from Adam Alexander, hopefully in the next few minutes, as he is out in Kansas where NASCAR is running this weekend, making the left turns. Of course, they don't run on Mother's Day. I guess tonight they will do what they always do on a Saturday night. They will have the mothers of the drivers come out and give the command for them to fire the engines and go racing there in Kansas City. Stuart Haas Racing has done something kind of unusual. They have not only captured the front row, they have captured the front two rows for the race coming up tomorrow with Kevin Harvick on the pole for the race. My goodness, that's strong for them. Amarola, you know, Clint Boyer, Daniel Suarez, they have the first four spots in qualifying for the race that is coming up tonight there in Kansas City. So we see what happens, you know, with that. Interesting things are happening as we head for Charlotte next weekend and the next couple of weeks, and they go there and they get set for the All-Star race and different things. And Kevin Harvick was one particular story. The paint scheme that was revealed this week for his car for that race, a millennial paint scheme. And we talked a lot about NASCAR and how it's looking to make a shift and attract some of the younger, you know, some of the younger sports audience and bring in some younger followers who may not have paid a close attention to it, may think it's, you know, it's old and out of step. And now they're saying, okay, let's try to do something different. They have a car that's basically been themed as a millennial paint job for this car. It's like a pinkish looking color with emojis all over it and memes all over it. And that's the car's going to go. So they tried to ask Kevin Harvick, you know, do you understand what's on the car? And he doesn't understand most of it. But it's a theme that they're going with to have a different look. And, you know, the All-Star race is good for that, too. Usually when NASCAR has the All-Star race, you have some different paint schemes, different themes, different sponsors get involved for that particular race because of the attention that it attracts. And, you know, that's a big time. And it's in Charlotte, and it's before the weekend leading up to Memorial Day weekend and, of course, the Coca-Cola 600. So that's a car that the pink – is a different kind of color of pink. I see this picture here with Harvick sitting there with a thumbs up. I don't know if he really means that or not, but it's something done once again that they're doing this year just to reach out and try to attract attention of a younger part of the audience. Like I said, they started their E-League team back the week they ran in Phoenix, and that's going on as well. Esports for NASCAR, the racing teams. Which is something else that, you know, like I said, we always say all sports are involved in esports in some capacity. Millions of dollars have been invested in that, and NASCAR has done theirs as well. Maybe a little behind some of the other major sports in doing it, but nevertheless, it's there. And that's you know, something else that they're doing in order to reach out to a younger crowd to get them to be a part of racing, get a chance to enjoy it. So watch for that this coming week. But as far as the race tonight, you want to watch for the Stewart Haas Racing Team, as they're the guys that are out front. Let's watch for Chase Elliott, too, and see how he is able to do, you know, in the race this week. Of course, you know, having a big win at Talladega a couple of weeks ago, that was great to see. Now let's see if he does something tonight in the race in Kansas City under the lights out there. Should be great to see if he can do that. Want to see him have some momentum and some consistency. He's one of those drivers that people are watching for, and he's one of our home guys. So that's the thing that you watch for as well, you know, with him. So the starting grid for tonight's race, and we'll run some of them down for you. We'll tell you that Harvick's there, Amarola is second. That's the first two rows. Boyer and Suarez make up row two. Chase Elliott is on row three by Martin Truex. Good qualifying run, you know, for him as well. So Kyle Busch is 13th. Kurt Busch is 14th. We keep going out. Denny Hamlin, 17th for this one. Joey Logano, 20th. You get back into the racing field, and we just see where some people are able to go at this race and see what happens. Be cool if maybe even Jimmy Johnson was able to get one. You know, that might be fun. That might be fun as well to see what happens. You know, if he's able to come out and get a win, it'd be great to see him getting the win column. He qualified 18th fastest for this week's race. So we'll see if he's able to do something out at Kansas City tonight, as well as they run the Monster Energy Series race. Starts around 7:30 is the race time for that one, as they look to race out there tonight. And, you know, that's the season is going well. You have some things, races where they've had some better attendance than others. And also, people are looking forward to next season. Some things that have been done different with the scheduling, you know, for NASCAR as well. But those are things that we're watching. Of course, our race next year has been moved up to a March date. And that's something I think some people are looking forward to, and see if that comes through and see if people like that better. So we'll watch for those things coming up. But tonight's race, once again, is Kansas City. And front two rows, you know, you got from the same racing team, Tony Stewart's crew, and I'm sure he's very proud of that to have his teams running up front this week as they run NASCAR. And that's a little look at some things that are happening at the racetrack. We're hoping to hear from Adam. Maybe we won't get him in. We'll see. But maybe we won't get him in, or maybe we'll have to catch up with him next time as they're running in Kansas City. Hopefully the weather would be good and they'll be able to get the race in out there. Of course, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, we expect to have no weather issues tomorrow as Atlanta United plays down at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Kickoff is set for 2:30, so the pregame should be at 2. Kickoff at 2:30. You can hear it here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike Cunty and Jason Longshore will have that call for you. And as Atlanta United goes for a fourth consecutive win. You know, that sounds almost sounds kind of odd because the way things started out this year, we wanted to be, get to the point where we have put together a win streak. And it has happened for our team. They do have a win streak going right now of three consecutive. And they got Orlando coming in, Orlando FC, the team that's supposed to be our rival. Like I say, they're supposed to be our rival. You know, that's what that's who they say they are. We haven't seen them be much of a rival to us, but we'll see. Anyway, cool thing to do tomorrow with mom, too. Mom's never been to see Atlanta United, never been to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Maybe tomorrow, if you can get a ticket, tomorrow might be cool to take mom out. Mom at the Mother's Day at the Benz with Atlanta United. Should be a lot of fun and something to do. So that's something we're doing. So that's coming up tomorrow, and we'll have it here for you, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. That should be great. Spent some time yesterday with Carlos Bocanegra from Atlanta United. And, of course, he travels a lot about it. And I asked him, I said, you know, talk about, you know, how people react to you when they meet you and they ask you about things here in Atlanta. And you could hear the pride coming through. You know, he's talking with him, you know, over the phone. And he talked about how you go places people ask about Atlanta, how they did what they we know doing here. Because we kind of become the, in a short period of time, we become the town and the market that has shown people how to do professional soccer in our country. And it caught a lot of people off guard, caught a lot of people by surprise. And you know, we've become the gold standard. And when you talk with, you know, others who follow the team and cover them each week, maybe that's putting some pressure on some other cities with people who haven't thought outside of the box and found ways to achieve what's been achieved here in Atlanta in such a short period of time. And, you know, Doug Robertson from AJC has been on with us, and he talked about some cities like Columbus and places like New England and Philadelphia and how maybe the ownership there didn't have the kind of commitment or tie into the team or just weren't generating the kind of fan and the kind of buzz that we're getting, you know, here in Atlanta consistently for our team, just because of the way that it's been done, the way it was thought out, the front office that has been assembled, and under Arthur Blank's leadership and his vision, it's just been incredible. And once again, people will get to see it tomorrow. Tomorrow's game, I think, is a Fox Network game, so it will be seen nationally, nationally televised. Once again, people will look and see how we do soccer in Atlanta and the fact that we do it like no other city in this country does. Matter of fact, you know, we're attracting the attention of cities in other countries that an American city can embrace soccer this way and consistently fill up a stadium that size full of enthusiastic fans. That's because it's what we do in Atlanta. And, you know, that's why we were so alarmed the first few weeks of this season when our team did not go out and perform the way we were accustomed to seeing them play. And, you know, going through some changes, some personnel changes, and obviously a new coach, something that had some people a little alarmed. Come on, we finally get to a championship, and this is how we're going to follow it up. Well, we're looking more like, I think, the team that we expected them to be. And that's what they've looked like the last three times out. Well, that's three, four games out. They've looked like that. You know, a big turning point, I think, was in that terrible match in that quagmire up in Columbus. An unplayable feel. But since that time, the momentum has changed and things are going in a different direction for the team. And it's more like what we expected to see. Great defense, but also the attacking offense and finding the goals. You know, not, you had opportunities that were there before. Opportunities are back again, but you want to finish them. You want to finish them. You want to get those goals. And that's something that wasn't happening consistently. They're happening now. And we want to see if they do more of it tomorrow It'll be fantastic to see. Once again, John Chuckery and Randy McMichael will be in the Gulch tomorrow. You want to go by. They'll be broadcasting live. You want to go by on your way into the bins. Stop by and visit with them. They'll be happy to see you, I'm sure. You'll see the new slimmer and trimmer new version of John Chuckery, who's there. I don't know if he'll be wearing his lovely lavender shirt that he had on yesterday morning as he was taking his photos. And by the way, we put some nice pictures of him on. We posted them on social media of John with the makeup artist applying the makeup to him there for his photo shoot. He's going to be in a publication with Wellstar Health, so watch for that coming out in the near future. And our very own John Chuck, we're very proud of the guy and what he's done. And you get a look at him. So you'll see tomorrow. I don't know if you have the lavender shirt on. That was a different kind of look. They can say they call it that his Augusta look. You'll see that. But that's coming up tomorrow. All right, man, is that Dr. Dale I see here? My goodness. Wow. Sports Insider coming up top of the hour, and Dr. Dale is here himself. That is coming up. You stay with us in Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw, 9 floors up in the Kia Studios. Nice looking Saturday morning outside our window. Hope it's well wherever you are. I think there's forecast that rain may come through later on in the day. So if you are hitting the road to celebrate Mother's Day, we listen to another mom in the background. She had good seats, too. She was sitting on the front row last night for the Houston game and did not help the Rockets one bit. But she was there at the game last night as the Rockets fall. Once again, safe travels if you are traveling to celebrate Mother's Day, if it's in this area or if it's outside of this area. And like we said, they do look for some rain to possibly come through our area later on today is what we watch for. We were talking about the fact that the Falcons are going on with their rookie mini camp. The rookies are there. It's their first time working out at Flowery Branch. They worked out yesterday. They will work out again today. Remember, the rookie mini camp is not open to the public. I know when we mention that the players are on the field, a lot of people like to, hop in the cars and ride out there and sit. They're going to sit up on the grass and, and not today. Not yet. But it's this first opportunity for those players to get out there and work along with the coaches and other players and learn the Falcons' way of doing things. And here's what Coach Dan Quinn had to say after things got started yesterday.
We played them at end-end tackle. You see them straining and going and everything that you saw on college. The effort, the intensity, I want to do more, I want to do extra. He's kind of built like that, it seems. So we're looking forward to developing him.
And that was about John Kaminsky, the defensive end out of Charleston, one of the players that they're expecting to be maybe a surprise. Some people think he may be a diamond in the rough. They just like his motor and his intensity and the way he works. And that's why he was one of the players that the Falcons drafted. We wondered about defensive help, and he is one. We're watching to see how he does and adapts to things as Falcons' way as things go along. So, the 7 draft picks, they had 16 undrafted free agents as well, and other select players trying out as well this weekend to see if they get invited back to OTAs and to training camp and the mini camp along with the veterans. So that's what's happening this weekend with the Falcons rookies as they're on the field for the first time, getting their little first taste of National Football League. I mean, nobody's hitting anybody, no pads are on or anything, but just going through things and learning, seeing how they react and see how they respond. I think that's the main thing the coaches just want to see. They've watched the film. They've watched them work out. They've been to pro days and combines, and now you're seeing them, in your camp to see how well they'll fit in doing things your way. And that is what we're watching to see, what new pieces from this draft process and the free agency will take hold and be a valuable role for this Atlanta Falcons team as we head through the summer months and into the fall and the season that will be here. Before you know it, they'll be taking off for Canton, Ohio, to play the Hall of Fame game. So there's some things that they're doing out there to get ready for that. We found out more tomorrow about what these 2 days have been like. We hope to hear more about that tomorrow morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Once again, remember that there's NBA playoff action. Those games are coming up tomorrow. The games that they've got 2 game sevens remaining, as a game 6 was the end for the Houston Rockets last night. Golden State beating them 118-113. I know a lot of NBA fans that I know, they were kind of hoping maybe that Houston would win, so there will be 3 game sevens to watch tomorrow, along with mom, You know, whatever you're doing, you got to include mom tomorrow. But no, Golden State went out and won. And no Kevin Durant, no problem for them last night as they get 33 points from Steph Curry, get 27 points from Klay Thompson, and they take care of Houston. What's next for this Houston team? What's missing for them? What do they need to do differently? What pieces should stay and which one should go? They're knocking on the door. They're close, but some things are going to change in the West. We're going to see some different faces on some of the teams in the West next year. Will Houston still be that team that's right there just beneath Golden State? Maybe not. It might be one of the teams that will be playing tomorrow, come out of tomorrow's Game 7 in the other Western semi. Denver Nuggets have stated their case. They really have. They've stated their case quite well. They're taking on the Portland Trail Blazers. And like I said, Nikola Jokic has been the total package. He is just done for a seven-footer. My goodness, the guy just does everything for them. And we'll see tomorrow, 3:30 the tip time, to see if he can pull it together. They will be playing in Denver against Damian Lillard, C.J. McCollum, and the team from Portland. See what that backcourt can do against the Denver team. And, oh, by the way, it includes our old pal Paul Millsap from the Hawks days playing out of Denver now. They are a win away from getting Golden State in the Western Conference Final. Meanwhile, in the East, you know, Philadelphia, you're wondering which Joel Embiid is going to show up tomorrow. Their tip time is 7 o'clock tomorrow night, Game 7 of that series against Toronto. They are playing in Toronto. And while they battle it out, Milwaukee is sitting back with their heels, kicking their heels and just relaxing a little bit. Giannis Antetokounmpo is like whoever. You just send him down. Whoever it is, we're going to be ready for. It would be an interesting series to see whoever makes it to the final. You would think a matchup between Antetokounmpo and Embiid might be pretty entertaining basketball, but Kawhi Leonard might have something to say about that as well. And so that is what coming up. What do you make of Boston right now? What happens with that team? As Dan Kamal walks in now, I don't know, what do you make of that team and what it was supposed to do, but what it failed to do? Dan, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Sam. You know, when things look kind of clear, you know, why look another direction? Without Kyrie and Hayward last year?
Yeah, no.
This team was young, and the young guys didn't have to stand in the shadows, didn't have to keep looking for anybody. They just looked for themselves and each other. It was a really good team.
I think so.
And went all the way to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Are you kidding me?
I know.
This year, I don't know. That chemistry, I don't think it's an overused word.
No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. And I think it was very evident. And they worked and fight to try to maintain some form of chemistry throughout the season. And it seemed like once they got to the postseason, they maybe had it right. But, man, toward the end, it just kind of, you know, fell apart for the team. And so you wonder who's back. Who's there? Who do they add? Would an Anthony Davis go well there? But if they get Anthony Davis, what of those young players would they have to surrender in order to get him? And I think that's the other thing. In order to get him, do you give up those young guys in order to get him, Dan?
Sam, my solution is bye-bye Kyrie. Use the draft picks. Let those kids emerge again. Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
And Rozier,
yeah.
You know, just let them do their thing. They're young. Build with them. Kyrie, as Kendrick Perkins says, he's not Batman.
No, not at all. Not at all. He's proven that. And just the way his body language and the way he responded in that final game just kind of said, you know, I'm out of here. That's just how it looked to me. And if you're on the team, how do you feel when you see – when you see that?
To me, that's part of it, and it's been written about a lot up there in Boston. He's just not an energy-giving guy. He sucks energy away. He's a curmudgeonly kind of personality. That's just his personality.
Yeah.
So he doesn't lift people. Only maybe when things are going great, he lifts people a little bit, but, man, the moment they start going the other way.
Yeah.
And he never seems happy.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't, you know, and that's the thing. So clearly a need for a change there, you know, going forward. That's another backstory. Like I said, folks, once we get through the NBA Finals, that's when we're going to have a lot of stories where people end up and what happens. I mean, out on the West Coast, what happens there, a lot of intrigue and goes on in what has just been like a reality TV show kind of from the start. The NBA is very much.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.